Good morning, Crossville Church. How are you this morning? It's good to see each of you in the service this morning. We're glad that you're here, and I hope that the Lord blesses you today. We've just come from a meeting down in the Family Life Center, and we had a good time down there. I had to leave a little early, but we had a good time down there with food and all that kind of good stuff. Excited about the new classes that are starting. And I want to ask a question. How many of you have noticed a change in our Facebook page? Yay. Yeah. Pastor Heather has been taking care of the Facebook page, and I am so thankful for that. I am not techie in that way, but she has been, and I sure do appreciate it. And Heather's going to come and make our announcements and tell you about something new this morning. And then after that, we're going to have promotion. But Heather, come and talk to us just a minute.
All right. A couple of announcements for you this morning. Men, you would normally meet Sunday or Saturday morning for breakfast, but you will not be having breakfast this week. Sorry.
No breakfast this week?
No breakfast on Saturday. Which is a bummer because that is like every other week I send my husband off to breakfast. So no breakfast. Ladies, sorry. They'll be at home. Unless, you know, somebody wants to go rogue and plan a Memorial Day breakfast. No, I'm just kidding. But no breakfast this week because it is Memorial Day weekend coming up. And then the other big things to note is, I don't know if you know this, but we have VBS coming up in June. And there are some things that we actually need for VBS. So the kickoff is going to be June 7th from 11 to 3. This is a great opportunity to invite people that you know, your neighbors, your friends, the people that check you out at Walmart. It's really easy just to tell them how to get here when you're there. But invite people to that so we can get them registered for VBS, which will happen that week. There are invitations in the foyer that you can hand out, flyers that you have. They look like this with everything. Or allow me to give you permission to hit the share on Facebook to share with other people. This is one of the best for younger people and their families. It's not just a ministry to our children. It is a ministry to families as well. And a way to get just our Jesus out there to everyone else through VBS. There's a lot of parents who come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through their children because their children were invited to VBS by a friend or someone else. So just know how important that is. So go ahead, and while you're looking for things around the house or trying to figure out where your Christmas stuff is, if you have some extra Christmas trees, we could use those for decorations. So let Jessica or Mary know, but we need the trees by next Sunday. And then the beauty of that is when you get them back after VBS, we can have Christmas in July. Or just put them up early at our own homes. I don't know. I don't know how you feel about that. Young at Heart will be having a game day with Finger Foods on June 20th at 2 in the basement of the church. There is a sign-up sheet in the foyer along with a Finger Foods sign-up sheet. Sign up by June 15th. And if you have any questions, see Gail Martin. So that's what's upcoming in the church. And here's how you're going to be able to keep track of everything that's going on, not just on Facebook, which is where I try to put a lot of things, but also we have a new texting service. This will replace our one call service. So I think we have a slide for that. So there is. If you are, you can either type in that phone number, 844-710-4272, and you can just type the word yes, or you can type whatever, actually. It doesn't have to be yes. You could say, hey, Heather, or I love Jesus, or whatever you want to, but yes is the easiest thing to type in there. Or you can scan that code if you know how to do that. It'll take you right. It'll open a text message for you. And when you do that, you will sign up. It's basically saying that you are allowing your phone to get texts from us. It's going to ask you your name so that we know whose telephone number that is. And then it's going to tell you, this is super important, to add Crossville Nazarene as the contact or text to the contacts in your phone so you know who is texting you. So this would be where you are allowed to pull your phones out, so you can take care of that today. If this is something that you're like, oh, I don't know how to do that, or I'm not sure what to do, I will be in the back after service And I would be happy to help you get that set up on your phone. But this will be the way that we can mass communicate things that we need to, whether there's a delay or something that's coming up, not to abuse it, not to spam you, but just to be able to better communicate with you so that you know what's happening, so that you can invite other people to come and join in on all that Crossville Nazarene has to offer the community. So, Promotion Sunday. If I can get the teachers and the kids to stand and face so that everybody can see you guys. Today is a day to celebrate our children and youth. It is so exciting to see how they have grown. Let's see, we're missing. Where's Eli? Come on, Eli. I can tell. Yes. They are getting older. And with the teacher's help, they are getting wiser and more mature. I love seeing this growth in our kids. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 15 says, "But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus." So we have, nursery is Jane White, and so leaving the nursery and going to preschool, which is Linda Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy, is Ada Byrne and Eben Kiley. I don't think Eben's here. And then Linda, the preschool, Linda Kennedy, going to Sue Allen and Jessica Von Berg. She's losing a bunch. She's losing, yes, Lily Allen, Benaya Byrne, Iris Hennings, she's not here, Xander Von Berg, and Asher Woolbright. Yes. And then Sue is losing Aubrey Brown. She's not here, but she's moving up to our preteen. And then Miss Faye has our preteen, and she is losing Grace Adams, Jacob Brewer, and Eli Kiley. They're moving up to our teens. I want to say thank you to all our Sunday school teachers for the guidance that they give their class, the children, and the adults. Thank you. If I could get all of the Sunday school teachers, if you teach children or adults, to please stand. Come on. Let's give them a round. Thank you so much. And I have a prayer that I would love for all of us to say together. If it's, can we... We're going to get it up on the screen, and then in the choir I have the little pieces of paper so you guys can help. Oh, it's up there. Sometimes that TV does not work and we can't. So if you see us going like this, that's because we can't see what's back there. Okay, so if everybody would stand and we're going to say this prayer together. Oh God, you have created us as human beings who mature from infancy through childhood and adolescence into adulthood. Today we celebrate that growth. We lift up all who move this day into new classes for learning and spiritual growth. We pray for all who teach our children and youth. We pray for all of our classes and groups in which we mature in faith. Keep each child and youth in your care and help us to assist them to grow in knowledge, in spiritual practices, and in living as disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, guys. Okay, you can be seated. Thank you.
Bye. There's nothing worth for that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're a living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, shame is undone.
Please join me in prayer. Lord, it's not the week we drag behind us or the day or the morning in which we are made whole, but it's in your presence that we have all that we could ever need. Maybe not all that we ask for, but all that would bring us to completion, all that would bring us to perfection. We only find that in you. And so it's only you that we trust for it. So this morning, as we look into your word, as we continue to sing your praises, as we partake of your son's precious body and blood, let us just know that it's you that makes us whole. It's not the perfection that we bring you, but the perfection that you give us, that we can only have in you. So I just pray you'd impress it upon our hearts as we hear your word preached, that it's you, that it's only you, that it will ever only be you who satisfies. We're hungry people, and we do need help. So grant us an awareness of that need, and grant us an awareness of your provision, that we would see you and know you as the one who gives, and see ourselves and know ourselves as those who are in need. We thank you for you, because it's only in you that we have anything. It's your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
To speak to you this morning from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 25 and go down through verse 30 this morning. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 25, the Apostle Paul says, "But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One thing that I've learned as I have been studying the Apostle Paul across the years is that the Apostle Paul would rarely beat around the bush. Most of the time, he came directly to the point. If you go over to the book of 1 Corinthians, you're going to find that when that church there was having severe problems, that Paul addressed those problems head on. And in fact, in chapter 3 of this book, he calls legalists dogs. Now, that was a wonderful thing to say about somebody, wasn't it? I really think that when Paul said something, he meant what he said, and he said what he meant. And when you begin to read the Apostle Paul's writings, sometimes if you were just to read certain books, you would come to the conclusion basically that Paul was a very rough person. He was not at all kind. But when you begin to read passages like this, and you go over to 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, when you begin to read those books, you see a completely different side of the Apostle Paul than what you would see in some of those books like 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And Paul is writing here to the Philippians about a young man that they had sent to Paul. His name is Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus was sent with an offering from the Philippian Christians so that Paul would have his needs met there in that prison. He was sent to help in ministering to Paul any way that he possibly could. And Paul is writing to them about Epaphroditus, this man that Paul had very high respect for. It's kind of interesting when you begin to look at Epaphroditus, because if you go back and look, his name, Epaphroditus, means charming. I'm not sure that I would name my son that, but somebody did, you know. To read what the Apostle Paul says here about him, you come to realize just how charming, just how helpful, just how delightful this man was. And I read what he says about Epaphroditus. And one of the main things that I see as I look at this is that Paul begins to speak about servanthood in action. He begins to speak about servanthood in action. And I want us this morning to see what the Apostle Paul has to say about this man. And I want us to, when we leave here, I want us to be able to take what we learn here and apply it to our own hearts and lives and begin to live out this servanthood in action. The first thing that you notice as you begin to look at this is that the Apostle Paul starts off by talking about his characteristics. Look at verse 25. He says, "But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs." The first thing that he says here about this man Epaphroditus, he calls him a brother. That means that he was part of the faith. He was part of the family of God. And I'm not going to take a lot of time to deal with that this morning, because we realize as you read through this that Epaphroditus and the Apostle Paul had one goal, one aim. They were doing what needed to be done for the church there in Philippi. But it's some other characteristics that I want us to look at that are mentioned here. The first thing that the Apostle Paul says about him is that he was a fellow worker. He was a co-worker. Epaphroditus had worked closely with the apostle. There's no doubt about this. The work that the apostle had begun had become the work and the job of Epaphroditus. If you go to chapter 1, verse 5, Paul speaks about the partnership in the gospel. And he really had become a partner with Paul in the gospel. When you begin to think about the church and you begin to think about all the things that go on, please understand that we are partners in the gospel. We are doing what we need to do in order that the gospel might be spread here in Crossville. You see, the pastors can't do it. It has to be everybody being willing to share the good news of the gospel, because there is a partnership in the gospel. The work of the church just doesn't happen. I want you to understand that there are not church elves that run around here when nobody's here. You know, if tables get moved, or if chairs get moved, or things get set up, it's because someone does those things. And the work of the church goes on because we are fellow laborers, because we are co-workers in Christ. It all happens when we all work together and we strive together to see the church move forward. It's not because there are little people who come in here that are short and stubby and maybe as a rotund as I am, you know. They just don't come in here and things happen. I could describe some folks to you that make some things happen. I won't take the time to do that this morning. I just simply want to say thank you. And I think one of the reasons that the Apostle Paul could call this man a co-worker is because of his work, because of his help in the gospel. But not only does he call him a co-worker, he also calls him a fellow soldier. It's interesting to me when you read the Apostle Paul's writings that over and over again he refers to this experience in which you and I are part of. He calls this thing a battle.
J.B. Phillips paraphrases this fellow soldier. He paraphrases it and says that that Epaphroditus was a comrade in arms. In other words, Epaphroditus had taken up the cause of Christ. He was fighting the good fight of faith. Now, I want to tell you something this morning if you're a new Christian. There are a lot of people who have this idea, and sometimes television evangelists will lead us to believe this, that if we become a Christian, that everything is going to be sunshine and roses, and that there's never going to be anything that happens that's wrong. And if something does happen that's wrong, that's because of your faith or lack thereof. No. The moment that you begin to follow after Christ is the moment that the enemy of our souls basically begins to battle you. That's the moment that the enemy of our souls will do his best to defeat us. And the Apostle Paul classifies this Christian life as a battle, both in 1 and 2 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, he tells Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. If you go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, he tells Timothy, endure hardship as a good soldier. In Philemon, verse 2, Paul speaks of Archippus as a fellow soldier. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, Paul tells the Ephesian Christians to take on the full armor of God. And there in those verses, he describes what that is. We are in a battle, and we're not in a battle with each other. We're not in a battle with the church down the street. Our struggle is against the enemy of our soul. We don't fight this battle like the world fights battles. We fight this battle on our knees. We fight this battle with the armor of God that Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 6. And Paul commends this man. Some say he was a young man. Paul commends this man for his work as a soldier in the faith. And we as a body of believers need to be soldiers in the faith that take on the full armor of God in order that we might be able to defeat the enemy of our soul when he attacks. And be well assured he will. Well, he says of Epaphroditus that he's a brother. He says that he's a fellow worker. He says that he's a fellow soldier. But then he also says that he is a messenger and a minister. And the word for messenger that is used here is the same word from which we get the word apostle. And the word actually means one that is sent on an errand. And the Philippian Christians had sent Epaphroditus on an errand for them. He was to bring a love offering to Paul. But then you go on down in that verse, and the Apostle Paul says that Epaphroditus had been sent so that he could take care of his needs. The King James Version says there, so that he could minister to my needs. It means to serve at one's own expense. Epaphroditus had gone on this errand for the church at Philippi so that out of his own resources, he could take care of the needs of the apostle. And just as Timothy, as we talked about last Sunday morning, just as Timothy was a servant to Christ and to the gospel, Epaphroditus was also a servant to Christ in the gospel. And when you read what Paul says here, his service almost cost him his life. Can I tell you something, folks? Ultimately, serving Christ will cost you your life. Now, I'm not talking about that you're going to die because of it. I'm talking about ultimately, if you and I are going to be effective in the service of Christ, then we're going to have to lay down our life. We're going to have to do as Paul says in Romans chapter 12. We're going to have to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. That's what he's talking about here. Service is as much a part of the Christian life as prayer and Bible reading. I don't think you can read your Bible and not come to that conclusion. Especially the New Testament. I don't think you can read your Bible and come to the conclusion that the Christian life, it's about prayer. One of the new classes that we're going to be starting is about prayer. One of the new classes that we're going to be starting is the essentials of the faith, the basics of the faith. But as you look at this and as you begin to go through the Word of God, service is as much a part of the Christian life as prayer and Bible reading. Service is to the Christian life what food is to the body. You want to feel fulfilled in your Christian life, then serve. You will be empty if you never find a place to take what you have learned and begin to give that out to other people. So when you begin to look at this, he was a fellow worker, he was a fellow soldier, he was a messenger, he was a minister. Those are the characteristics that the Apostle Paul gives you about this man named Epaphroditus. But Paul not only shows us the characteristics of this servant, but he also shows us the concern of this servant. Look at verse 26. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give. Last week we talked about Timothy, that he had the heart of a servant because he was genuinely concerned for the Philippians. But not only was Timothy concerned about the Philippians, but you also find, as Paul says here, that Epaphroditus was concerned for the Philippians. And one of the reasons that he was concerned for the Philippians was because he was one of them. Concern for other people is a distinguishing mark of a Christian. Concern for other people is a distinguishing mark of a Christian. Concern and compassion, that was the heart of Jesus. He was concerned for every person that he met. And Epaphroditus was a concerned Christian. How do I know this? Well, there's a lot of ways that we can tell that he was concerned. He traveled to bring this offering from Philippi to Rome. Now, for me just to say that, and for us just to look at black and white words on a piece of paper, it means nothing. But when you begin to study and you begin to find out, it was 600 miles as the crow flies from Philippi to Rome. 600 miles. Now, they did not have interstate highways. I mean, Rome had built good roads, but I'm telling you, they were not the best. And if he walked it, that's a long walk. 600 miles as the crow flies. And what makes this even more of a concern is that Epaphroditus had an offering on his body. He had money, is what I'm saying. And in those days, roads were not well patrolled, and people by themselves were apt to be murdered, especially if they had money on them. But what makes this even more interesting was not just a 600-mile trip, and we know that, as I said, that's as the crow flies. We don't know exactly how far the trip was, and that he had money on him. But the other thing, according to William Barclay, was that he was taking this gift to a man in prison who was awaiting trial on a capital offense. And his helping Paul could be seen as him being an accomplice of Paul. So when he gets there to give the offering, to do what is necessary, not only could he give the offering, but he could also be put in prison. Because they thought he might be an accomplice. Now, how would you like to do that? To go to visit somebody in jail and somebody say, you came to visit him. You must be guilty. We'll put you in the cell beside him. Went to Angola prison several different times. Not because of anything I had done. Thought I'd tell you that. Went to Angola prison several different times while we were in Louisiana. That was an experience that I will never forget. We would get there, we would park, we would go into the visitor station there. And as we would go into the visitor station, we had to walk through metal detectors first of all. And then we had to walk past dogs that were not friendly at all. And then you went on out. You had to give them your license. You basically had to give them everything about you right there as you were going in. And they would scan your license. They would see if you were a problem or if you had had problems or if you had been in prison. And then you were allowed to get on a bus or in a vehicle to go over to the station where we were going to feed the prisoners. Those that, what do they call them? Please help me, somebody. My mind just went totally blank. What's that? Trustees, thank you. And we would go and we would feed about 150 people there between Christmas and Thanksgiving. And those people were there and they were not getting out. Angola was not a place where you went to get out. I can't imagine being there. And our prisons are a whole lot better than these prisons that Paul was in. And so Epaphroditus was taking on this role of caregiver for a man who was on trial for a capital expense. It was said of St. Anthony in the 4th century, though being told not to, he ministered to those who were facing martyrdom. And here's what someone said about him. He seemed therefore like one who grieved because he had not been martyred. But the Lord was protecting him to benefit others so that he might be a teacher to many in the disciples that he had learned from the scriptures. For simply seeing his conduct, many aspired to become imitators of the way of life. He served them, and like one who had been bound along with them, he suffered. Isn't that amazing? Here was this man who was willing to give all of his life for those who were in process of being martyred. He was more concerned about those suffering than he was about his own well-being. And Epaphroditus and St. Anthony followed the same master. They followed the same master. And that's Jesus. You see, concern for people has always moved great Christians to do extraordinary things. And I think of missionaries who do extraordinary things to minister to hurting people. Just this week, I heard the foreign minister of the United Arab Emirates talk about the fact that the first hospital in the United Arab Emirates, which was built just 65 years ago, was built by an American missionary who went into a Muslim country and faced death building that hospital. Think of the risk. Would you be willing to do that? I think of preachers like John Wesley and Francis Asbury who traveled great distances to preach the gospel to those who desperately needed it. I think of people in churches that I have pastored that I watched in put in more money than they should have because of their concern for missionaries on the mission field. You say, William, that's an ugly thing to say. No, I watched them. They didn't have anything. But like the widow who went along and dropped her three very, very small coins into those offering receptacles there at the temple, she did it not because she loved all that was going on around the temple. She did it because she loved God. And those that I've watched give like they gave did it because they loved God and were concerned for people. Isn't that something? It was his concern for his home church. He found out that they knew of his illness, and so he was worried about them as they were worried about him. It's an amazing thing. And Paul says that all of this worry has caused him great anxiety.
There are a lot of people who are sitting here today who need somebody to be concerned for them. There are people all around us right now that need somebody to be concerned for them. Epaphroditus was a servant. He had the characteristics of a worker, a soldier. He had the concern for Paul. He had concern for the gospel. He had concern for his home church. But I want you to notice finally this morning, the Apostle Paul gives his commendation. Verse 29. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him. Because he almost died for the work of Christ, he risked his life to make up for the help that you yourselves could not give. The Apostle Paul gives the highest praise that he can for this man. He praised him for his work. He praised him for his warfare. He praised him for his waiting on the apostles. There's a good 3-point outline. Y'all didn't think that was funny. And he tells the Philippians, it's interesting, he tells the Philippians to receive Epaphroditus as a hero. You say, Pastor, I don't hear him using that word hero. Well, look at what he says. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him. Because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life. There's a hero, folks. There's someone who risked his life for the sake of a church. If he had done it for his country would have given him a medal. And I'm going to tell you, across the years, I have met some heroes of the faith. I have met some people who risk everything in order that they might share the gospel of Christ. And we make such big deals out of sports people, and we call them sports heroes. Can I tell you the Greek word for that? Hogwash. We make heroes out of these movie stars who get up and act like something. And some of the stuff that they act like, we don't need to see. Amen, William. Good preaching. We have heroes in this church. We have heroes who have stuck with the church through the thick and the thin. They've been here. We have heroes that every Sunday morning make a trip downstairs into Kids Connection and teach children's church and children's Sunday school classes and teen classes and adult classes. You see, there are heroes of the faith even now. Some of them are in our midst. Some of them have risked their lives for the sake of the gospel. Some have talked to people, and I've watched some as they've talked to people about the faith, and I'm telling you, it made great impact on me, and I sat and I watched them as they could not eat because the people did not accept what they had to say. And Paul commends this man. He commends this man because of his work in the gospel. But I want to tell you something. The commendation that Paul gave Epaphroditus was wonderful. But the commendation that Epaphroditus got when he stepped into the presence of Jesus: well done, good and faithful servant. That's the commendation that we want, isn't it? We may never be successful as far as this world is concerned. We may never be heroes as far as this world is concerned. But when we step into the presence of Jesus, we want to hear Him say, well done. That's what it's all about. And then we'll cast our crowns at His feet. The one who has given all for us. Surely we ought to want to give our all for Him. Application. To be a servant
It means that you have certain characteristics, the characteristics of a worker, a soldier, and a servant. To be a servant means that you're concerned about people, that you're concerned about the gospel, that you're concerned about the church. To be a servant, a hero of the faith, means that one day you'll hear those words. I heard someone say one time that working for God doesn't pay much, but the retirement plan's out of this world. Real heroes who give themselves for the gospel. Of all the desires that I have for you, of all the desires that I have for this church, of all the desires that I have, I want us to be as Epaphroditus. I want us to be servants in action. I don't want us just sitting here thinking, oh, I can come in and I can do this little thing on Sunday mornings and leave here and everything's going to be all right. No, 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 no. We're to be servants in action. I said this in my first church. I'm going to say it to you. You don't sit in the pew and please Jesus. I got the same reaction way back then, too. It's still true. It is still true. Lord Jesus, we're grateful that we can read about this man Epaphroditus. We can read about his characteristics. We can read about his concern. But we can also read that the Apostle Paul commended this man. And we know that when he stands before you, that he will be commended. A good and faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of all the things that we could ask for, of all the things that we could want for this church and this congregation, we want to be servants in action. We want to be people who are busy about the Father's business. And so we thank you and we praise you for this time that we've had together to look into your word. May your Holy Spirit bless the reading and the preaching of your word to our hearts and to our lives. And for the good things that you're going to accomplish in and through this church. Because of the faithfulness of your people, we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We appreciate those of you who have been with us on Facebook today. We're about to have communion here as a local church. And we hope that the Lord blesses you. Please be sure and comment to let us know that you were with us today. May God bless you, those of you on Facebook.